Healthy Children with the American Academy of Pediatrics on Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Melanie Cole.
You do trust your children's care to the coaches when they engage in team sports, but there are some volunteers, youth coaches and such, that are not trained in CPR and concussion recognition, in some of these things that even sports injuries that you want them to recognize. You can't be at every practice and you necessarily can't be at every game. So what is it that you are supposed to trust the coaches to know? My guest today, Dr. David Hill, Vice President of Cape Fear Pediatrics and the Adjunct Assistant Professor of Pediatrics at the UNC Medical School. Dr. Hill, welcome to the show. We always love to have you on. And I was telling you a story off air about my daughter and the buddy system, because I have taught her over the years to recognize symptoms of concussion, which she did, and saved this child from something that was potentially very bad. So do we trust the coaches? Do we teach our children? What do we do?
You know, I encourage all of my parents to talk with their coaches. When we do a sports physical, or I just do a social history and find out the kid's doing a sport that may be at risk for concussion, I always remind them, check with your coach if you're lucky enough that you have a trainer on the team. Talk to them and just make sure they have a policy. In our state of North Carolina, as in many states, there's now a state law that says at least school coaches have to have some concussion training, some concussion policy available and on hand, and yet, as with all things, it varies how well-trained people are and how well they respond. I've got an 11-year-old doing travel soccer right now, and soccer seems so much safer than a full-contact sport like football, but in fact, soccer is a pretty rough sport. There are a lot of injuries. It's not that far behind football. In fact, girls' soccer has a concussion rate that's comparable to boys' football. So it's
plus
really...
they get ACL injuries in girls' soccer.
Yeah,
and
right.
Now different, Dr. Hill. There's sports injuries, right? There's first aid. Right. There's sudden cardiac death. There's all these horrible things, and there's concussion. Now,
right.
Some of those things, like the sports injuries, a girl tears an ACL, she knows it, and she's lying on the ground, and she's in pain.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Maybe not. She limps off the field. She's not going right back on. But some of these other ones you're discussing are not as obvious.
Right. And that's where the concussion specifically, a lot of people still think you can shake it off. And we know from studies of high school football players, they're reluctant to report. They want to stay in the game. These are really dedicated athletes. They feel loyalty to their team. Sometimes they feel like there are, scholarships at stake. And so that's why some sort of testing, like the SCAT form at the field side, there's even some studies on an even shorter field side concussion card screening. But some sort of objective screening is really useful for the team, the trainer, parent volunteer. My kid's travel soccer team doesn't have really a trainer, so as the pediatrician, I just kind of stand at the field and wait for somebody to have trouble, and then sometimes I just kind of wander across and see how they're doing over there. But I've had kids from our team and opposing teams whose parents did not really understand how serious their injury was and have had to say, your kid's dizzy, they're not, they want to go to sleep, but I think you really do need to get them to an emergency room right now. So it varies, and finding out what your mechanism is for your student, your athlete, is always a good idea.
Well, I think so, too. And I was very proud of my daughter that day, because the buddy system is one way, right? Especially where concussion is concerned. The buddy system, getting other team members to recognize, and like you say, they're hesitant to report.
Yeah.
They don't want to miss. They don't want to. And this little girl that she was talking to said, no, let's go back in and do stuff. And my daughter, Cece, was like, no, sit down. Tell me where you are. Tell me, how did we get here? Tell me what's 5 + 4. She asked her a bunch of questions the girl could not answer. And that's
good.
It was so good, and that's when she called me and the father, and he went right and picked her up. But he didn't even recognize the stuff. So buddy system is one way. Parent involvement, as you say, is another way. So what else do you want parents to know, and what tools should they have on hand? What do you think about having a defibrillator and, milk for tooth that they lose? And, what do you want people to have on hand?
It could be quite a kid if you're going to put it together and do it right. An automatic electronic defibrillator is a really good idea. Not all teams or schools have the funds for these. They can run a couple of $1,000s. You can get reconditioned ones that are less. However, they can allow you to address a cardiac emergency very quickly. And a lot, we try to screen kids before they play for cardiac issues, but not everybody is screenable. There are issues like Wolff Parkinson White or prolonged QT, for example, or some undetected heart defects, holes between the chambers, that exams don't always pick up and history doesn't always pick up. And so having equipment on site, like an automatic defibrillator, can be very helpful, because no matter how careful you are, no matter how good the doctor is, how good the coach is, these things crop up, and they crop up with no warning. Backboards, neck braces, also a really good idea, especially appropriate for the size of the child. If all you've got on hand is an adult neck brace and you've got 6-year-olds or 8-year-olds playing, it's quite possible that that brace is not going to be adequate. So not only do you need to have the equipment, but it needs to be the right size equipment. Some communities, you know, depending on the resources in your community, you might ask if even their emergency response services are fully equipped for children. Everybody usually has what they need for adults, but kids need special stuff. And it can be hard to purchase and stock all the right sizes that are necessary. So it's not bad if you have an interest in this. Get involved in your community. Ask around. You know, just wander by your local EMS station. Ask, hey, can we help you raise money? Can we help, you know, talk to the politicians locally, make sure the city council or county commission gets you what you need so that you can take care of our kids when they get hurt.
So how involved do you want a parent to be, Dr. Hill? You're a pediatrician, and you work with teams, and you do. Now, I'm an exercise physiologist, so yes, when the coaches see me coming, they run for the heads. They don't like a mother like me that knows some sports medicine and also, you know, is a mother. So right. They don't like that at all. But how involved do you want parents to be to encourage their children to avoid injuries? I mean, because then we're helicopter parenting and you have a lot of kids. So, I mean, you know what this is like. Or are we helping our children avoid these injuries that are going to cost us money at the emergency room?
Right. You know, I think the place to start is just to have a polite and respectful conversation with the coaches if you see things that are disturbing to you. There's one team that we play in travel soccer, and I heard a rumor from a parent that another team threw the game against them because they had seen them cause and sustain so many injuries in the previous game. If you think that is your kid's coach and everybody is limping off the field, it's probably time to have a little, just pull aside and say, hey, you know, I noticed we got a lot of injuries. What do you think is contributing to that? How would you maybe see that that doesn't happen next time? And sometimes those are pleasant conversations. Sometimes you need to talk to people higher up in whatever sports establishment, whether, you know, if it's the schools, maybe it's the principal or the board of ed. If it's like we have a private league, maybe go up in the league and say, you know, does this seem like an outlier? Is this team sustaining more injuries than you think would be normal for a season, and why do you think that is? So I like starting conversations with questions. I also,
now we only have 30 seconds, Dr. Hill.
Yeah, and sometimes you got to advocate for your kid and say, this kid's hurt, we're not putting him back in the game. Or, you know, be sure and let me or the coach know. And all of us is trying to sustain that balance between helicopter parenting and wrapping our kids in bubble wrap and letting bad things happen to them. And that's always a balancing act.
I am the parent who would like to wrap my kids in bubble wrap and helicopter above them and put a little chip in their face so that I can watch every single thing that they do. But I know that that is not the way to go. But we were talking about injuries in sports and how you can get your children prepared, the coaches prepared, and what you should do as a parent if you missed any of it. And it was great information, even about what you should keep on hand as a first aid kit. Listen anytime, on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.